He's bad. Whoopty freaking do. But
you mean a good episode?
Maybe.
I've seen them without me.
Maybe. Yeah.
I apologize to our audience.
They're great episodes when you're not here.
They're
trust me.
Crap.
Yeah. And of course we got Quez in the bag. What's up, Quez?
What's up, Quez?
Taking care of all the great comments on there. But before we get started, first things first, we want to send our condolences to the Larry Allen family. Yes. Unfortunately, Dallas Cowboy lineman passed away, I believe, age 52. So our hearts and condolences go to you guys.
Absolutely.
And we hope just try to get through. I mean, too young. I mean, very young.
Yeah, I'm sure it was a shock to them anything like that happens. But thoughts and prayers out to them.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers out to you guys.
But
you
know, on happier news.
Yeah, on a lighter note, a way lighter note.
Way lighter note.
Congratulations to the Wessico Lady Panthers.
Wessico Lady Panthers.
State champions, bro.
Hold it out.
Dude.
Miracle.
It cannot be more of a storybook. Bottom of the seventh, one out, bases loaded, full count, pitch comes right down the middle, bam, gone, out of the ballpark. Beautiful. Nut. Congratulations, ladies.
Congratulations to the hero of the game.
No kidding now.
The hero. What was it, Ortiz?
Ortiz? I believe her name was Ortiz. Oh my gosh. You're going to be famous. They're going to make movies about you.
They're going to name a street after you here in Wessico somewhere.
Somewhere.
Probably on Old 83.
Hopefully, yeah, somewhere around there. Okay. Yeah, somewhere. Don't worry about it.
Going towards Donald.
It's going towards Donald. Don't worry about it. They're all going to know your name. Yeah. But, guys, today on the podcast, oh, my gosh, guys. If you guys tuned in for today, man, we got a great guest. First time ever having anybody in our podcast that is – literally Hollywood royalty. To me, Hollywood royalty. It is Hollywood royalty.
It is, bro.
It's Hollywood royalty from the RGV. Ladies and gentlemen.
Just get to it already.
I know, man. I'm scared.
Just turn it on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vyente Rodriguez in the podcast.
Wait. Let me put on my sunglasses.
First of all,
thank you, welcome to the podcast, man.
For being here, man.
Thank you.
First of all, surreal to have you in our studio. Mm-hmm. First of all,
I'm so used to seeing you in the TV screen. I'm sorry.
I mean, we did meet up last year in September at the.
At the film festival,
yeah, which was all big shout out to them, man. Great event. Every over 10 years, I believe.
Yeah,
coming up this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Coming up this year, yeah.
Yeah, September. And I mean, it's just amazing how much entertainment they bring down. Not only that, a lot of well-known actors, mm-hmm. directors, writers, stunt women.
Yeah,
you know, and not only that, they come down and give a lot of advice to the young entrepreneurs that are trying to get into the business.
Totally for free.
Exactly. Yes.
Completely for free. So if you guys are interested in wanting to be in the industry and you don't know what, come by there. Come by there and drop into a seminar, drop into, you know, a lot of different classes.
Yes.
We had one dude that was putting a piece of glass in somebody's eye, the makeup artist. Editors, like you're saying, sound people, the stunt people. So if you're interested, come by because it's totally free. Come by, walk around, see what you learn.
Get into some trouble.
Steal a pen.
No, I appreciate you coming. First of all, coming to the podcast.
Thank you again, man.
Man, I don't know where to start. I mean, let's start from the beginning. I know you told you the last time we had you on the show there, you started where you come up with where you, your upcomings are from. Let's start from the beginning, you know, where you're from and how we got to Hollywood, baby.
Elsa, Texas, man. Elsa, Texas. I was born to a family of migrant farm workers. And at about 3 months old, we went pal norte. We would go to Florida and Texas always. And then in the winter months, we'd go further north, Michigan, all over the place, Michigan, North Dakota, South Dakota, Oklahoma, California, Oregon, Washington, por donde quiera, man. So at about 15 was the last time we did that. Mom got a job working at the cafeteria in EdCouch at one of the schools. And so we were able to stay. Then we would only go during the summer. But living that life, actually working in the fields, which most of the people my age have done in one at one time or another. Maybe they didn't do it as hardcore as I did, but most of my generation has worked in the fields or knows somebody that's worked in the fields, right?
Right.
Really, really hard work.
Right.
And that's where I figured out that, Sasuke, I don't want to do this the rest of my life, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this the rest of my life. And so I started concentrating on education.
Oh, okay, all right.
And people are always asking me, do you always know you want to be an actor? I said, no. The first thing I knew I didn't want to be was really, really poor the way we were. That's what I knew I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be poor. Porque teníamos our house, no teníamos telephone, todo el jale, ¿verdad?
Right.
And so I started doing good in school, and I thought I wanted to be a lawyer because I'm thinking I need to make money, ¿verdad? And in my head, it was doctor or lawyer.
Right.
And so I thought maybe I'll be a lawyer. And for whatever reason, I had a little bit of brain, ¿verdad? And a little bit of luck. I had some really amazing teachers, really, really amazing teachers that are certainly responsible for a big part of my success. Mm-hmm. But when I got to college, the first class I took was a theater class. It was a summer class where they were doing 4 shows in 5 weeks. So it was really, really intensive. And right after I took that class, I went, you know, Sasuke, I don't need to be a lawyer. I just need a college diploma.
Okay.
So that when I graduate, I'll be able to get a real job, not be in the fields anymore.
Exactly.
So that was the plan. That was just the whole plan right there. I'm going to graduate with a theater degree. Maybe I'll teach somewhere. Maybe I'll work backstage. I don't know yet, brother.
Right.
Still building. But first and foremost, I need to get that diploma, that college degree. And when I graduated, I thought, well, if I'm going to maybe teach it someday, because I really thought I was going to be a drama teacher, you know, somewhere in the Rio Grande Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I should go out and see what it's like. That way I can come back and tell them, look, this is what the book says, but this is what I experienced.
Pretty much test the waters.
Exactly. Yeah. Have some practical experience.
Exactly.
I went out there, and it went well. It went really, really well. I got 4 jobs real quick. None of them were acting. But I knew I needed to pay bills.
Right, exactly.
So I was working as a courier. I was working as a carpenter. I was working a video store. And I was working as a telemarketer. I was selling gold.
It was
the worst job in the whole in forever. But the only good thing was when at 6 o'clock, when the boss left, we had a long-distance phone line, Cardal.
Vámonos.
So we'd call the whole family.
Vámonos.
All night long. No, hombre. But como four months into that, in December, I walked into an agent's office. Again, one of my professors down here had written me a letter of introduction. He had one friend he'd gone to Texas Tech with. She was an agent. She said, if you're not a member of the union, I can't represent you. But come on in. Let's talk for 5 minutes, see what you got.
Right.
And so I talked with her a little bit, and I had an old VHS tape of stuff I'd done in college.
Okay.
And when I was leaving, I said, Terry, do me a favor. I have a tape right here, and I see you have a tape player. I'm going to leave this with you. It's only 5 minutes. Do me a favor. Look at it, and if I suck, just tell me right now. You know, put an end to it right now. If I'm terrible, tell me, brother, you're terrible. You need to go be a carpenter.
Right.
And she laughed a little bit. Monday?
Keep building houses.
And she laughed a little bit. And then the next morning, she gave me a call. She goes, I'm not going to sign you, but I'm going to send you out on a couple of things. See how you do. Represent you temporarily. And the first thing she sent me out on was a movie called Salsa, the motion picture.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yes.
Really good soundtrack. The movie, but the soundtrack, man. Tito Puente, Celia Cruz. Nombre, we got some really good people on the soundtrack. And then that was my first job. And I ended up working 8 weeks on that movie. And so I made some really good feria. I put that in the bank. Then I quit my job. I started looking for theater, theater to be part of because I had a really strong theater background. Mm-hmm. And I found one, the theater center, the Latino Lab at the Los Angeles Theater Center. Mm-hmm. You know, from there, it was just building. I got a play, and then I did The first TV thing I did was a Golden Girls. How long ago it was.
Wow. Okay.
I was the air conditioning repairman.
There you go.
I look like I'm 17 years old. I'm carrying a little box. I was already like, about 25. But that's how it started. And I did a lot of theater work at the beginning. I was still doing TV every now and then and a couple of movies. And then in 93... or 92, I got cast in Blood In, Blood Out.
Wow, man.
I got cast in Blood In, Blood Out.
One of the most classic movies. Yeah. Any Latino, man.
And it just started coming out they just put it on a streaming service.
Right.
Because before that, you couldn't get it. You couldn't find it anywhere.
And the funny thing, you say that last night, my wife and I were going through our Roku.
Right.
And we saw Blood In, Blood Out on Broadway.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck?
I
go, please don't turn this into a West Side Story thing. Please don't. Please.
Let's risk our lives.
He just a little chavala running with the big boys. Oh, my God.
Show me some choncho. Give me some choncho.
Is it just me or does that sound awesome?
You
heard it first. You heard it too.
Where's Lin-Manuel Miranda? Where did he get his ass on?
Oh my gosh.
But that was a trip, man, because none of us knew. Well, I didn't. The person who had the most experience of all of the Bato Locos was Jesse Borrego.
Yeah.
Because he'd already been on Fame and he was already famous.
Right.
Really.
Right.
The rest of us were just starting out, but there are a lot of people in that movie. Billy Bob Thornton's in that movie.
In the
prison. Yeah. It's the Benjamin Bratt who went on.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Raymond Cruz, he's Tuco.
Yeah.
You know, and he went from that movie to Clear and Present Danger, then he did Aliens 4, then he did The Rock, then he did Under Siege, and just movie after movie after movie. A lot of people. Right. Did a lot of work after that movie.
No, man, it's crazy. It's crazy that you bring that up with the Blood In, Blood Out because that was like one of the most, like I say, it was an epic film, man. I mean, there's so many. Everybody knows the catchphrases. The whole thing. I mean,
everybody who saw it when we were in school.
Yeah.
When we saw it.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I right.
Mean, but
I'm like,
Big Daddy. Yeah.
I'm gonna show Ernie something blast from the past. Look at that.
Oh,
right there. Now I got this one over here. Something I'm gonna want you to write your stuff on there too, man.
Brother, Jesse's performance in that movie is amazing.
Yeah,
amazing, Carlos. It is amazing. It's really his movie, brother, because he's the one that's got the journey. He goes from being a beautiful artist, then he hurts his back, then he gets addicted, then he's a marijuana, a heroin addict, and then his little cousin dies, and he gets, his family pushes him away. By the end, he's gone through this crazy journey, and he's kind of found some peace.
Right.
He kind of figured it out. And that last scene with him dancing with Ben Brad in the L.A. River, that is beautiful, man.
A lot of people are asking me. Yeah, look at that.
We got a message from Crystal Morin. Ernie with a heart emoji.
There you go.
Everybody loves Ernie, man.
Yeah.
Ernie's a big ladies' man.
Ernie is the best friend everybody has.
Dude, that's right.
If you didn't have an Ernie,
you were the Ernie.
That's right. That's exactly right. You,
yeah, man.
But if you paid attention during that show, Ernie kissed all the girls. Come on.
Yeah.
Ernie kissed Sandra Bullock, brother.
What?
Yeah, it's true, man.
So we want details. Details, Mr.
You got to search through all the episodes. And
we're going to go frame by frame.
No, that was a quick one.
No, but I mean, it would have been weird if George was like the one kissing everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
George and I almost kissed, también.
Oh, man.
He swallowed the worm.
Well, there you go. Best friends are best friends.
That's right.
That's a next level friend right there.
Cortez, I got your back, no hombre.
So after doing the Blood In, Blood Out, I mean, what was next? What was over the horizon? How did you end up going into?
I was still in the middle of trying to figure out if I wanted to stay with the theater stuff, and I moved away from that and moved more through to television and movies, and I started doing a lot. I started being very successful. I went from movie to movie, and then more TV, and then I was in Aaron Brockovich as well, and then I was in Mi Familia as well, and doing really, really well. And then in 2001, in December of 2001, I got the call for the George Lopez Show.
There you go. Nice.
And it was the very first call, though, was just to the casting director. Mm-hmm. And they sent me a script. They sent me a script, and I read the script, and I was really excited because I'd never seen a script like that. Mm. There hadn't been a show like that for Latinos anyway.
Right, right.
And then I looked at this character of Ernie and I went, oh, I can do that, man. I can do that character. I know that character. And so I went in, she liked it, and called me back. I went in again and then again and again. I went in 7 times. And then at the end, it was just me and this other guy. And I went into a room, probably maybe twice as big as this room.
Oh, my gosh.
But there were maybe 150 people in it. It was packed. Wow. It was packed, 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 packed.
Wow.
And I went. I got on stage. So ready. By then, I'd done it 7 times. I was, ready. And there's a reader somewhere in the first row that's going to be reading the other lines.
Right.
So you find that guy. You ready? Yes, I'm ready. All right. I turned around like that. And when I turned back to the audience, they laughed. I hadn't said anything, and they laughed. Because I had this stupid look on my face.
This guy got sparked.
Ernie turned around all of a sudden. And they kept laughing. And I'm like, well, this is weird. Let's go.
Give me the line.
Go with it.
I guess they don't know who I am yet. And then finished their life. I'm driving home, it's feeling really good, man. It's feeling really, really good. And my agent calls on the way home. Said, hey, what's up? That was the days of the flip phone.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But
a little antenna.
See?
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. Antenna's always fucking breaking. Damn it. Yo tenía un pinche coat hanger right here. I had to put it out the window.
I said, that.
And it's my agent. Then she goes, how'd it go? And I said, it went really well. It was surprising. I think it went really well. I'm hoping it's going to go well. And she goes, well, yeah, it did. You already got the job.
Wow.
They already called.
Wow, that's
before
awesome.
Before I got home, they'd already called.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. That is awesome.
And we got booked for 4 shows. Usually there's one pilot.
Right.
But we had a special thing going on where we had 4. And then we did that. That was 2002. The end of 2001, and it came on the air in 2002, and then we kept going. We did 6 years, 120 shows.
Yeah.
Shoot, man. That's crazy.
It was an awesome show.
It is crazy. And it was an awesome time, man. We had so many really good people on it. And sitcom is amazing because you carry a lot of writers. You carry, 8, 10, 12 writers.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're into it for a year or two, the writers already know you. They know what you do well. And so they're writing specifically for you,
Right, exactly.
And then if it doesn't work, they'll rewrite it, And it's a really short week, and you don't work on the weekends, and every fourth week you get off.
I'm going to
Yeah, you get the whole week off.
Wow.
Oh, it's like the rigor again.
Yeah, it's the easiest job in the world, If you can do it, it's the easiest job in the world.
Right.
The pressure comes in when the audience gets in.
Right.
Because we used to a live show.
Yeah.
And so we have 150, 200 people in the audience. and the cameras are all like this. They're watching over the top of the cameras.
Right.
You do the scene. If it works, great. But if it doesn't work, then everybody comes in to like a huddle. They figure out what you're going to do. Then they bring the actors in. They go, okay, everybody ready? All right. Cut this line. Don't come in on that line. You don't. They give you like, I don't know, 5 minutes worth of notes. Right. Everybody got it? Okay, here we go. Roll camera. Quiet on the set. That's when the talent comes in, because you have to have the confidence to go, yeah, I can do it.
Exactly.
I'm fast enough.
Right.
Yes, I know it. I know what to do. I'm not going to mess up. Or even if I do mess up, we'll work our way out of there, to have that confidence.
Exactly.
And that's where I think the big bucks come in, because not everybody can do that. Not everybody can do that. It's a tough one.
You had a question?
No, I was just going to ask him. He pretty much answered it. Like, what's it like having that interaction with the audience right there? You know?
It's really cool because single camera, like dramas and stuff like that, they're shooting out in the world. Mm-hmm. You got no audience.
Right.
And it's one camera, and you got to do it four or five times to get all the angles.
Yeah, right.
This one, we had four cameras across the front. And we would do it once or twice, and everybody would be covered. And then you got George and Belita, who's just amazing. Belita played the mom.
Right.
And then Constance, who's gorgeous and really talented as well. And then the two kids who were extremely talented. Mm-hmm. And then you got George, who's always cracking up, you know, and you're trying hard not to laugh because he's so funny. Right. You know, it was beautiful, man. It was a beautiful time. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, for now, that's been the best project I've been a part of.
That's awesome, man. That's great. I know we got a couple of comments.
Rick Phoenix says, what's up, brothers?
Okay,
what's up, Rick Phoenix
out there? Luis Arviso says, good evening, friends. Christian Morin says, him coming out and the new guy was the best.
Ha!
Oh, there you go, there you go.
They killed Paco.
That was beautiful.
They flew me to Austin for that one. And it was like storming, and I was in my hotel room, like on the 20th floor, and there was lightning. And I was like, God damn it, saca el mundo.
I just got this part. So, I mean, as far as like movies, I mean, I know being in Texas, and that's my boy. You know, that's El Valle.
This is El Valle right there, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know. Somebody put a beer right in
front of me. We'll take it.
You just tripped in front of a beer.
You just tripped in front of a beer.
Yeah, you go there. Nice. Just put it right there next to you, so it won't run away.
No.
So doing, I mean, living here in the RGB, I've noticed you come and visit a lot, you know, and not, I'm not going to put anybody in the spot, but not many, you know, actors or talents that made it out really come back and, you know, come back home and bring stuff with them so we can see. What I saw at the convention, you helped out a lot of people. Your workshops were amazing. Mm-hmm. So much information for these young upcoming people that are trying to get into the entertainment business.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see these young eyes looking at you with full attention, I mean, what are the feelings going through you? You know,
it's beautiful, man. I'm really, really proud, actually. I'm really, really proud, because when I was growing up, and one of the reasons I do it is because when I was growing up, that didn't happen. No, that didn't exist, right? And this was back in 1987. And so I didn't have anybody to turn to ask what's it like, or do you have any advice or any of that kind of stuff. Right. And then the other thing is that it's an industry where if you really want, and all of life is like this. If you're doing something, you want to be really, really good at it, you got to really, really put your time in. Really put your time in, right? But in this particular industry, it might not happen. No matter how hard you work, it might not happen. So it has to be something that really has to be in your heart. You really, really have to want to do it. And I want to prepare these kids for that. The second reason is that without the help that I got from all those people that were in the Rio Grande Valley, those teachers I was telling you about, my parents and my own family, I wouldn't have been able to do what I did. I would not have been without all that support. Because when I got to Pan Am, I still needed to take diction and enunciation and speaking classes. Porque todavía I was talking like this, right? Which is fine, right? But that only means you can play that one character.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So if you want to move forward and you want to make it your career, you want to work 20, 30, 40 years at it, you need to understand how to do that. Right. And there's a method. There is a way. And that's why there's acting class and directing class and writing class, right. All that kind of stuff. And so to pay all of those people back, because seriously, my life changed 160 degrees, man, 180 degrees. I was going this way, and before I knew it, I was going that way because of the teachers, because of the mentors that I had.
Right.
And that path that they put me on, it turned out really, really good.
Yeah.
Right. Really, yes, really well. I've been blessed.
Really well.
But I wouldn't have been able to, if I had dreamed it, I wouldn't have dreamed this. I never thought I'd be there.
Right.
My first thought was, I just want to make a living as an actor. You know, I just want to work enough to be able to pay my bills and that sort of stuff. And so that's another reason I come back. And then the third reason is, like in 2010, we did a film. We did a couple of films. We shot in Elsa and Far and Raymondville, all over the valley, actually. And I had a crew that was 90% from the Rio Grande Valley, 90% of the people from Pan Am. Mm-hmm. Well, not then, it was UTRGV, I think.
Okay.
And then after I finished that, a year and a half later, about 5 to 10 of those people had moved to LA. One of them started working on Westworld. Wow. Another one went to Jane the Virgin. Another one, and that sort of stuff. When I'm thinking, if I had a little bit of thing to do with that, that makes me really proud.
Yeah.
Good. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're working film and television, you're working advertising.
Right.
And Chris, what you do is you sell Pepsi, you sell Clorox, you sell beer. All that advertising in between the shows, that's what you're selling.
Right.
And so if at the end of the day you're going to look at your life and say, what kind of significant contribution am I making other than just being a celebrity and, you know, getting free meals when people see me at McDonald's?
Right.
What is it that I can truly point to in my life and go, I'm proud of that. You know, I help those people out.
Yeah.
And so that brings me a ton of energy,
Awesome. Yeah.
And then the people down here, you know, I got all my family down here. So I visit every time I come down here, I'll go visit them. And then the fajitas, of course, we don't have them over there.
That's what I was going to ask you. But comments came in. Chris Morin said, Pan Am, so OG. I love it. Linda Castro says, hola, boys. Hey. Let me ask you. I got a question for you. Since you've been out there, I mean, Hollywood. Charlie,
what's up?
So what's better, Valley Tacos or Los Angeles Tacos?
Los Angeles doesn't have tacos, Carla.
I'm going to say, hey,
you heard it here first.
Los Angeles has cold tortillas. And they got everybody at me, I'm telling them, mira, what's in every single taco? What's the one thing that's in every single taco? The tortilla. You gotta put something in the tortilla, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So if you don't pay attention to the tortilla, and I'm a foodie, carnal, now you're in my ballpark right here.
Yeah,
we got you right now.
Yeah,
if your tortilla's cold, forget it. You already lost.
Exactly.
If you try to make a taco and the tortilla breaks, dude, come on now.
That's wrong.
No.
And I got another question going.
No, Selena says Tex-Mex or authentic Mexican food.
There you go.
What would you consider the fajitas? Is fajitas Tex-Mex or is that authentic?
That's a good question.
Now, what authentic? Porque, like, I love, like, mole, right? Mole from Oaxaca, right? That's Mexican. But there's also green mole, and in New Mexico, they put green chili or red chili all over the stuff, right? So different regions have different stuff. If it's good, I'm going to eat it. If it's good, there's one thing, one kind of food, just one food that I hate.
Okay, here we go.
And it's only a certain way it's prepared.
No, don't.
Spinach.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll let it go.
But I like raw spinach. I'm a salad.
Yeah, exactly.
But cook it?
No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Dang, you got a point there. I got mind blown right now.
I smell it and I want to throw up.
When we were kids.
In fucking kindergarten and then they cook it all day long. I hope he just schools smell like beef spinach.
Well, I mean, I was introduced to spinach because of Popeye, but it's just... as you can see, it did not work.
As you can see, my face was BS.
No, BS. This is the only thing. Everything else.
Noah Salinas asks, does he like Q tacos for breakfast?
You know what? Are the Q tacos the ones they sell at Stripes?
Yes.
Well, then yes. 2010, that was my routine. I'd get up at 5 in the morning because I was in Edinburgh. We were shooting in Elsa. Right. I'd get up at 5 in the morning. I'd come down, I guess, 107, verdad? Mm-hmm. And there was a Stripe. Just as you come out of Edinburgh, I'd stop there and I'd buy 100 breakfast tacos. And that's what we'd feed the crew in the morning.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, right here, you got another comment from, who's this? Linda?
Linda, hey, it's Taco Tuesday.
That says today.
Christina Bennett says it's taco science.
Yes, it is taco science. It is taco science. I mean, yeah, man. I mean, food down here. I mean, I've been up north before, and I've tasted the foods. Mm-hmm. And what they say, oh, Mexican restaurant. We go to a Mexican restaurant. It's like, no.
No. It's different. The beans are different.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Most of the time in L.A., if you're talking beans, you're talking black beans.
Right.
Yeah,
right?
Unfortunately.
So very few places do I know that they will sell refried beans, you know, the pinto beans that have been refried.
Right.
Y luego también, they use a lot of sour cream. They put a lot of sour cream on stuff.
Right. The Taco Bell method.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
This ain't a baked potato.
Hey, you know what I've noticed? I went with a friend at a taqueria in Far, and I had never seen anybody put papa in their taco.
What?
Like a baked potato. I'm saying lunch taco, dinner. I've never seen that. I've never seen that.
Like,
you know how they put all the, like a loaded potato.
Oh, like a loaded potato.
And then they just scoop it and they put it on the taco, which already has beef steak and all that stuff.
Right.
That's called the step to overkill getting a heart attack.
That's a Mexican solution.
Well, you know, that is a step. You know, one of the things I do miss. You guys ever had the Frito pies?
Yeah.
In the football games where they just cut the Frito bag and they put the chili on the top.
I'm not gonna lie, man. My mama makes a hell of a Frito pie.
Yeah, she does.
She makes the taco meat, the ground beef, the taco meat flavoring on top. Once that's done, she gets the Frito, she throws the taco, and she sprinkles it with a little bit of love.
I mean, it's good. It is good. As you can see. It's good.
Mama, you know what I want?
Chris Morin says, that sounds like cardiac arrest.
Shut up, Crystal.
You don't know nothing.
You know nothing, Crystal.
Let me live my life. That's why we go walking every night. Don't be jealous, Crystal. You know, being jealous is a very ugly thing. Don't be jealous.
Crystal sounds like a Mexican. You gotta get shit done sometimes.
That's right.
So, I mean, you've done... Coming down here, bringing all that talent down, bringing all this information. I know you told me a story about, I believe it was a young lady that you had spoke to. She had just graduated, I think, from Pan American at the time. I want to tell you the whole story. You know the story. You were telling me about that, that she came to you. It was thanks to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, and that's a, you know, you think you're going to make you hope you're going to make a difference in somebody's life, but you're thinking it's going to be in a direct conversation with somebody.
Right.
And in this particular case, it happened to be both, because one of the things that ends up happening is, for example, I'm going to add to that story. Mm-hmm. There was a young man who came up to me not too long ago, and he said, my mom was sick and... She was going through some kidney problems. My mom was sick. She was going through some kidney problems. And we thought it was going to be really, really serious. And so for a whole month, she had to go through this whole routine. She was in the hospital. And then at the end of the month, they were going to do the surgery. And every night at a particular time, they would come and they'd turn on the George Lopez show.
There you go.
And watch it.
Right? All right.
And then he said, you know, the George Lopez show got us through those... made us bond, gave us laughter, and made that time a lot shorter, right? And so that story, and then stories like this young woman who said, I saw you speak, and I had misgivings about doing what it is that I wanted to do.
Right.
And I heard you say, at the end of the day, you want to get to a place where you've made really strong decisions, really important choices, mm-hmm. but they were your choices. And so you need to empower yourself so that when you get to that place, you make the right choice and you make a very, very strong choice. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing that I had said to her, because I say this to everything, the same thing I said earlier is, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter how tall you are, how short you are, doesn't matter your color eyes, doesn't matter all of that. None of that matters. What matters is how dedicated you are to what it is that you're going to do. How dedicated you are to that and how kind you are to the world. Because whatever energy you put out there, you're getting that energy back.
Right.
It's exactly. going to come right back at you, yes, right? Sir. If you want a tough life, well, then put tough energy out there. You know, if you put kind energy out there, you'll feel that coming back. And that young woman actually made me cry because I started thinking about, without even knowing it, you're part of an industry that can change people's lives without you ever coming in contact with them, yeah. ever at all. And that's the power of television. There are houses around us that not in an air conditioning and are broke down, and they don't have a lot of income, but they have 3 or 4 TVs in their house. Yeah. You know, and so we need to see ourselves, our Latino selves, on that little box so that validates us. We need to tell our stories, and we need to tell the stories because the other doesn't know us. They don't know our stories. They think right. they do, but they don't. We need to tell those stories. Mm-hmm. And it's up to our creatives, our people who write music, people who do paintings, people who do novels, people who make movies, people who right. do TV, to tell that story. Right. And the more we nurture these people, the better it's going to be for all of us in the end. And I just hope that I can keep making those kinds of differences in people's lives over and over and over and over.
That's great.
You know, as long as movies and shows like George Lopez and yeah. Blood and Blood Out yeah. are out there where you can see yourself and you can relate so strongly to the characters, I think you will, because it's like you said. You never know what's going on in someone's life, but
you don't.
You just did it, you know, to do the show. Right. You never anticipated
not at all.
That you were going to be a part of so many people's lives.
And in 87, to emphasize the point that you're saying, mm-hmm. in 83, I got to Pan Am, and the film guy there, Dr. Jack Stanley, goes, "You got to watch this movie. You got to watch this movie." And it was, you ever guys have seen the movie Zoot Suit?
Zoot Suit.
I've heard of it.
So up until then, I would watch TV and, okay, the beaver would come downstairs and go, "Hey, Mom, I'm hungry." And the mom would go, "Well, why don't you have yourself a bowl of cereal, Beef?" Right? And they would do that kind of stuff. Okay, so in this movie, the kid comes down and says, "Mama, tengo hambre. Échate un taco, mijo." That was the very first time I saw that. On TV, on a screen. I'm like, that's what I do.
Right.
Eso lo que hago yo. I have a taco. I don't have cereal. I don't have, you know.
Right.
I have a taco for breakfast.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was another one of those times where the world got a little clearer, a little more open for me.
Right.
And gave me the idea that maybe I could do that. Yeah. Maybe I could do that. And that's the last reason that I come down here and talk to a lot of kids, because I tell them, look, I'm here. I'm from Elsa. Yeah. I lived a fucked up life to begin with as a migrant farm worker, and I put myself through school, and I went out there, and I, you know, by the grace of God and with the help of a lot of people, I achieved some really pretty remarkable dreams.
Right.
But that means you can do it too.
Right.
Because it's already been done.
Yeah.
You already proved that it could do it.
You make it see that it is possible.
That's
it can
exactly
happen.
Right.
Exactly. And you feel that motivation.
And then I tell them, don't build walls in front of yourself. Don't give yourself excuses. There's going to be plenty of people that are going to build walls in front of you.
Right, right, right.
You don't have to do that.
Right.
There'll be plenty of struggle, right?
Yeah.
So love yourself, be kind to yourself, and then dedicate yourself to whatever it is you need to do. And it doesn't need to be acting or painting or whatever. It's whatever you want to do. You want to be a mechanic, you dedicate yourself to that. You become a great mechanic. You make a great life. It's beautiful. Right.
And the funny thing that you say that, I mean, coming to being in the Hollywood phase and California phase of the entertainment business, we've talked to a lot of people that we had on the show that have been through the Hollywood or the entertainment business. And they say that being in the business, you have to have that thick skin.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I was thinking very much the entire time he was talking. I was thinking about, remember we had those we had a bunch of creative guys who did a movie here in the Valley.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
That's premiering on Amazon.
Oh yeah, they're on Amazon. Yeah, big shout out to those guys. How cool is that? Great. It's called, the name of the movie is called Find Me,
Mr. Mar Garcia.
Yes. I know Brooklyn is in that. Brooklyn Dillard's in that. I know Matthew that's in that. Yes. I know several other. I know Brenda who is in that. I just did a movie with a couple of those people, or not a couple, but a whole bunch of those people, and probably a lot of the crew of that movie as well.
Oh, awesome.
In Brownsville in December. We shot a short called
Let's Go.
Yeah,
it
went well.
Can't wait to hear about
Noah Salinas, my best memories with my brothers was watching George Lopez late at night.
And that ain't
you can't miss it late at night. No, you wake up out of nowhere, it's on.
You just wait for the cowbell.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
We cannot excuse the other comment here. It says, mom's watching, dude. She says, sons, is that a hint about the, you know, about the fruit of pie?
I don't drop hints, mom.
I want fruit pie.
Where's mom at? I don't see mom.
There's no hinting here at all.
Mom's on there. You refuse to see mom on the street.
I don't see mom on the street.
Ooh, mom. Bigger bowl for me, mom. Bigger bowl for me. Daddy hungry. Oh, my gosh. So, I mean, the stories like that, I mean, we've heard about having the thick skin in the entertainment business. When you had your time in there already and you've been through that, mm-hmm. do you still put up that thick skin when you go for an audition or go
It's a little different for me now only because, you know, I've been there 37, 38 years, and 36 of those years I've been a member of the union. And I have a significant amount of work, and so I'm making money off residuals, and we were in syndicated as well, and that sort of stuff. And after all of these years, I've kind of figured out a system for myself. It used to be you auditioned live. You don't do that anymore. Now you tape it and then you send it in over the internet. So right, that's changed a bit. But I fail probably 90% of the time. Maybe I get 10 auditions and maybe I get one, mm-hmm. right? And so understanding that, it's more about if you don't like to audition, you might not want to be an actor, right?
Right.
Because auditioning might be the only acting you get to do.
Exactly.
You might never get that job, right?
Exactly.
And so you have to take advantage of the audition. And so instead of going, damn it, I didn't get that one, I go, great. That means I can audition for something else.
Exactly.
Because once you get a job, then you're tied to that job.
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
And so I try to always look on the bright side. You know, my glasses always half full. Always, yes. always. Yes. I'm already here. I'm in the game. You know, and then the other thing that I tell actors is, look, you need to give yourself credit for the things you've done. Because it's awfully hard. Even if you only get one job, one commercial, or one maybe extra part or something like that, mm-hmm. it's a really hard thing to dedicate yourself to.
Right.
So getting one job is you should be proud of yourself, mm-hmm. and reward yourself for the small little victories, because when you're when you create. Again, a musician, an actor, a writer, a painter, it's important to think of yourself as that and have faith in yourself.
Right.
You don't have to think I'm the best in the world, you know, I'm Van Gogh and I'm going to paint. No. What you do have to think, though, is I have something to say and this is the way I'm going to say it. This is my form. Right. I'm going to make it a painting. I'm going to put it in a song. I'm going to put it in a book, right? And then give yourself to that. Whatever that requires,
mm-hmm.
Because people have different ways of doing different techniques, different ways they do it.
Right.
So give yourself to that, but have faith in yourself. Mm-hmm. Not everything you're going to create is going to be great, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's what trial and error is all.
Yeah.
You're not always going to be somebody's cup of tea.
No, at all. También. Yeah. It could be the greatest thing in the world and somebody's going to hate it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But that's okay because, and I tell the other thing I tell young people, look, it's not your job to criticize your work. What your job is, you reach in your heart, you tear your chest open, you reach inside, you take your heart out, and you show it to the world. That's your job. What they do with it, whether they take it and they put it up here and they cherish it, or they knock it to the ground and step on it, that doesn't matter. Dude, you've delivered your message.
He's going
to
make me run through a wall right now, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't cool it for the
box. Yeah, right, baby. Can you jump out this window and that's my 2 feet? That's right.
All right, can you do that again, but with more emotion?
Chris Amorin said, now I want
Peter
Pie.
Get a line, Chris.
Get a line.
Suck it behind me.
But you do have to, because you know what? It is hard, man. It's hard. And you see all these stories of actors or musicians or other artists who've committed suicide, who turn to alcohol, who turn to drugs, who are depression, who have anxiety and all that kind of stuff. It's hard to live in your brain. It's already hard enough. And then you bring in this new thing, you know, your phone, your social media, all of that world.
Right.
And that's just a whole other
Yeah, yeah. That's a million extra voices in your head.
That's a whole other toxic right there.
And then you start reading whatever they say. You know, you're in a movie or something, and somebody thinks you suck or whatever, and there's 700 comments. Yeah, of, you know, you suck. Yes. I hate your eyes. Yeah. I hate your knees. What the fuck? But my knees are too here. I hate your knees.
I lost it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but that is crazy when you do it. I've heard of that too. That I personally can't understand how people can let so many outside voices in. But I mean, if you open yourself up to the world as much as you say you do. I can kind of understand why that could affect someone.
You're going to get the reaction. I mean, like you said, you tear your heart open, put it show to everybody, it's going to go both ways. It's going to get praised or get stepped on.
Yeah.
And you just got to be prepared to take that. I mean,
you have to have the courage, brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the first thing I tell kids. Look, Mira, at 18, it turns into your life.
Yeah.
You become an adult. You become legal. Not for everything, but for most things.
Right.
Yeah. And it becomes if you move to California, then you're legal for everything. Don't worry about it.
Across the board. Yeah.
That's right. But it's your life, and you need to have the courage to say to yourself, this is what I want, and this is how hard I'm going to work. Because sometimes people will, and with the best intentions, they're not trying to bring you down. They're trying to protect you. De veras, mijo, that's a hard life, mijo. I don't know. Maybe you should, you know, do this as a backup plan. Maybe you should do this as a backup plan.
We've always talked about that. Always out of love.
Yes. Not wishing you bad.
Yeah.
Right.
But they don't understand that, you know, I want this badly, and I want to dedicate my life to it. Right. And then there are the other assholes that are just trying to bring you down.
Right. Yeah, never exactly. Make it.
No. You'll be back in 3 months, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you have to prepare yourself for that, you know? And I think as long as you're dedicated and you really, really love what you want to do, because it will take your life. It'll take your life. It'll take your whole life. It's a beautiful life. But, you know, so just make sure it's really what you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any more comments here? We got one here.
Crystal says, preach.
Preach.
You just went to church.
I just want to walk into ongoing traffic right now.
That's right. We're going to be passing the donation jar in a little bit. Put some money in there, Crystal.
Send
the fire truck. I can take it on. Bring it.
Wow. No, that's the thing. You know, I've seen Mr. Rodriguez go up on stage and do his class, and the way he talks, I mean, it's like things are possible. Never think that it's not.
Sure.
Because you are your own critic, pretty much.
You are, and you as a human being are at the very, very top of the chain. And we are, in terms of intelligence, in terms of computers that we can carry around in our pocket, in terms of our technology, in terms of where we are. Right. We're at the apex of everything right now. Right. It's the best it's ever been here. And in the United States, even better in terms of opportunity, in terms of job, in terms of the place you want to go, in terms of wages getting even between men and women and doing the same kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
And then as well, Now you don't have to go to Hollywood anymore because of this.
Yep. Yeah, no, you're right.
And what you guys are doing here, we're in Westlaco. We're on the third floor. Yeah, of the building. That's right. We're doing a change the world right from here. Let's go.
So when are you going back?
Well, I'll probably be back next month, and then for sure in September for the show.
Guys, we're booked for next month, September.
That's right.
Chris Martin says,
we're having a barbecue.
I'm down. Chris Martin says, let's not walk into anything, please. I loved and appreciated and deserve a spot in this world.
I was just playing, dude. I wasn't.
Crystal, we're just kidding.
I mean, if you would have kept on talking, I would have ran. I would have.
I'm done.
I'll give you $5 to do it right now.
Only if he says.
I'll give you $5 to watch you run into a parked car. Let's see what happens.
$5. Hold on to this mic.
Hold my beer.
All great stories start with hold my beer. Let's dive in to your younger self.
Monday.
What were the favorite hangouts from back in the day?
Oh, my God.
Where were the hangouts?
We were in Elsa. You know what it was? The HEB parking lot.
I got it.
That in Los Canales. There was a canal over there, Delta Lake.
Oh, Delta Lake.
Do you guys remember when they shut it down? When they shut Delta Lake down? Because it used to be beautiful. It's still kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
But the park and then the pavilion and they had music and everything. Mm-hmm. And then one time some girl went in the water and the amoeba, apparently, this is the story I heard.
Yeah.
The amoeba crawled up her nose and then she died.
Yeah.
That day, I was there. I was in that water.
You turned out fine.
The amoeba came out of my head and was
trying
to hurt.
I love my city of Donna, but yeah, that's not a place we would like to take any of our tourists to.
Not even a meat.
Crystal Morin says Quez needs a padded room.
There you go, Mike. You got it.
Why? Just because he wants to run into a parked car?
Hello, that's right.
Those words hit me, dude. Those are good words. What he said, man.
So the hangouts was the...
It was Delta Lake. It was Delta Lake. And, you know, I joke about the canales, but no, we used to go fishing in the canales. We used to take our bikes and stuff like that.
People still fish in the canales. Teníamos Dairy Queen.
We had one when I was a kid. We had Dairy Queen. That was all I remember we had. And then Pizza Hut came in a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it. We were Rancho. The population probably about 4,000 when I was there. It's still only like 5,000.
Pizza Hut with the Pac-Man table?
Teníamos an economy in the corner, and that's where it had.
Economy, bro. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, tenía el MetDog 2020 también. Because they were flying.
And we're talking, what age is this? What age was this?
21. 19. But there wasn't a lot of other places to hang out. You know, you were. You're pretty much small town.
And what do you think of the valley now?
Yeah, now that you've come back through the years.
The first thing is, how does it take 20 fucking years to fix that road over there in Far?
Oh, they're still working on it. They're still working on it.
Who the fuck is working on it? Thank you. Someone said it.
Dude. RGV, if you're watching this.
Give me 2 weeks. I'll go to Home Depot. Close your eyes and we'll finish the fucking road in 2 weeks, Carvalho. Why does it take 10 years? One pinch of lane and nobody's ever working. Nobody's ever there.
You see the machines.
Yes, but no one's going to work. It's always one kind of machine and five
spectating. They're on break.
Oh my God.
There's only one road in this area.
That's only one road.
What genius thought that up?
Chris, what you said, the accuracy.
That's accuracy right there. What the hell?
Mom just said, did you ever buy groceries at Cáceres grocery store?
Yes. Cáceres was right on the corner. Cáceres is 1, 2, 3, 4 blocks from my house.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I was friends with some of the Cáceres as well. I was friends with Caín Cáceres. He was about 2 years older than I am. He graduated just ahead of me. Yeah, yeah, nice. Yeah.
Now, watch mom jump on her. They're related to us.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
It's out. Mom, stop.
We were famous for a while because we had one of the drive-ins. We used to have a drive-in in Elsa.
In Elsa.
Yeah. Carload night. Hombre, forget it, brother.
Yeah.
You pack the car, te vas el barbecue pito, jale. You park it backwards like that. Sacas el colchón de la trunk y vámonos.
Oh,
right there.
Sounds like a drive-in night.
Oh, yeah. There's only the West Mirror, I think, is the only one that's supposed to be.
Well, the idea was then they were supposed to build another one in McAllen.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to build one in town.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it never started, never happened. The project crashed.
I thought it was going to come back when COVID hit. Because you knew you could stay in your car. You didn't have to make contact.
Well, the Westmore was packed during COVID. They closed the snack stand.
Yeah, they closed the snack. You had to bring your own snacks. So
bring your own snacks. That's what we did anyway.
We had familias in masks, sneaking your food.
We had familias con mask on, con un barbecue pit. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Speaking of fun and funnier, good old times. You have a show coming up.
Yes.
Thursday night. I'm going to put the Q code right here. So you guys
the University Draft House in McAllen.
Oh.
It's on 83 and Colonel Rowe.
Okay.
83 and 2. It's a really nice place on top, but on the bottom, there's a basement. And he's trying to turn it into a comedy space. This is our third month in a row.
Awesome.
The first month we sold out. The second one we came really close. This one, the tickets are going as well. I think all the private tables have been sold. There's still some tickets. I think it's $30. $30 with this QR.
Yeah.
Okay. It's me. It's Flo. It's Anthony. And then on Thursday night we're having Sonia Trevino is coming. Sonia Trevino is from the Rio Grande Valley. She's really funny. Yeah, I've done a show with her. We did a show with her in Weslaco. Here in Weslaco, actually, at the.
It was the Ranch House.
The Ranch House.
Oh, okay.
She's gonna join us on Thursday night. So the show starts at 7. So come on by if you want to catch a show.
Yeah. I like the name name of the guys is Gway Funny.
The Gway Funny show.
Gway Funny. Yeah, not the Gway Funny. The Gway
Funny.
Christina Marie said they keep paying for car washes and storage units. We're never going to get a drive-in.
Oh, that's true, man. There's so many car washes here in the RGB. It's just so much stuff.
Crystal has so much to say.
Crystal, you want to be on the show, Crystal?
Crystal, you need to stop doing cocaine before the show. It's making you crazy.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
But no. That's our audience.
Don't do that.
Don't tell them that.
Why is the door moving? That's every match. Oh my gosh, man. 58 minutes into the podcast, guys.
Wow,
time goes fast when you're having
fun. We'll do it again.
We love you back. We love to have you back.
Yeah.
Well, for real, come back.
The next time you come back, if you want to bring, we have any comments, you want to bring one of your. One of the comedians.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And you don't have them here.
Well,
so
you know
talk.
What? In September, let's you come to September, and I'll bring them over también. Maybe.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we had Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yes. Yeah. I actually got to.
You talked to him a little bit.
Yes, I talked to him a little bit. It was surreal, man.
Yeah.
I was like,
I got jealous.
And everybody was telling me, "Did you do it?" I go, "Do what? Richie, why am I gonna do that? I'm not gonna do that.
No.
I'm not gonna do that.
But I was done it, dude.
It was so cool because." I started telling him about a story. My cousin is from Corpus Creek, Callan. And I know that he grew up in Flowerbrook, graduated from there. And I started telling the story about they had gone to the movies. My cousin was there, and they were sitting down watching. When he got up, he started fooling around. He says, "Hey, I'm going to be on that screen one of these days." And when I told him that, he just looked at me like ghosts of Christmas past.
Right.
He's like, holy moly, how do you know that story? My cousin told me, I just want to confirm if it's true. And sure enough, he goes, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's true.
How crazy is that?
This was back in 82, 83.
Yeah. 40 years ago.
When I said this, and he goes, yeah. And right there, he goes, you know what? Bring me a beer. I'm like, oh my God, give me a beer. Yes, I'm drinking a beer with Mr. But he hasn't called me back.
But anyway, he hasn't called me back. See,
he gets
what he wants.
I feel so used to it.
And you love it.
And I love it.
Use me again.
Oh my God, so Rodriguez, I appreciate you coming out here with us.
Oh, you're welcome.
This is so much fun.
Oh, real quick, do you have any social media?
Social media that people can follow you.
Valentez, Valentez. That's my Instagram.
Valentez. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
That's the best one to do because the other one, and Valente Rodriguez with the blue check mark, that's not me. It used to be me, but somebody hijacked my shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So yeah. all of the blue check marks, Valente Rodriguez, they used to be me. But now it's some Vietnamese guy, Van Trang. What was he?
Van Trang.
See? Somehow they got my shit, and then you send me a thing going, $300, and I'll send it back to you.
Oh, like, my God. Fuck that. What a scumbag.
No,
wow.
It's all right. That's messed up. Karma will bite his ass.
It's okay.
Obviously.
He'll be back.
Yeah.
He'll be back. Nalaquilo, he'll let me in the morning.
They got crocodiles in Vietnam. Crocodiles are going to bite his ass. That's how it happens.
Wait, I can't wait to see that one.
September, how'd it go? Guess what? That guy I said about the alligators got his ass bit. Instagram. Yeah. Stay away from the Instagram, guys. You know now not to follow them there with the blue check mark.
Don't follow the blue check mark.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to reach out to you through Messenger on Facebook, and I was very.
And you can find
fortunate.
Me on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's my head with glasses on a bubble bath.
That's the one.
And unfortunately, I can't friend everybody.
Yeah.
I'm almost full of friends, I think, like 3,000 or así. But if you want to follow, and that's why I'm saying Instagram, because Instagram is easier just to follow and then
Right.
And they can find information about shows and that you're doing on there.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
Last but not least, I want to ask you one more question.
Mm-hmm.
When it's all said and done, everything's in a book.
Mm-hmm.
You're up in the gates of heaven. What do you want to be remembered by?
I want to be remembered by the influence that I made on people's lives. I want to be a footnote in everybody else's life. I don't want their story to be, and then one day I met Valente Rodriguez and that was the best day of my life. No. I want my name to be a footnote in their big story. I want them to say, I met this guy and he was really cool and he helped me along. That's all I need. That's all I need to be able to actually make a difference in somebody else's life and contribute to the world in a good way. I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good and kind individual to the world because this might be heaven, guys. This might be it. We don't know where we're going. When we die, we don't know.
Right.
We got to make this place the best we can. And the easiest way to do that is to be loving and kind to each other and look at the world with kindness and with love. And it'll make the world better.
Yeah, good answer.
Make the world
a
better place.
Good answer. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
We're running into walls.
You're an inspiration, sir.
I'm going to be the rock. Nobody, brother. Let's go run through a wall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh! Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me here.
I appreciate you taking the time out, coming up here with us, man, having a little fun with us. And none of that. I'm gonna say blessing the studio for us finally getting blessed.
And it's beautiful, también. I love the stuff you have on the walls.
Thank you so much.
You need more velvet, también. And some blue lights.
You see?
No, velvet. Blue lights,
but
that's okay.
You know
we're not getting backlights.
We're not gonna hear the end of it from Roe. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart. AKA Roe for the B-Boy Bro Show. We're not gonna hear the end of it.
I told you.
Velvet everywhere.
You need
Elvis. Kennedy.
You need both of those guys.
Dogs playing poker.
Everywhere.
Walk, baby.
Legend Jet, thank you so much. I appreciate you, man. I hope to see you back again very soon and continue doing what you're doing. You are a blessing to the RGB and bringing all that knowledge down here is helping us out down here.
Thank you, brother. Thank
and
you
you're funny here.
And you're funny as hell. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the podcast for this evening. Great podcast, man.
Fantastic.
Great podcast. It was awesome having him on a podcast, man. It's a blessing to have people like Mr. Rodriguez to be on the podcast with us. It's very rare to have.
So what, are you going to pay me my money or what?
Are you just talking? Wait until
the show's over.
We're paying you in tacos.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our podcast for the night. We will see you Thursday. It's going to be another good one. Bro.
Another good one.
Who's
Thursday?
Coming in, Mr. Quayad coming in. Ooh, from nice. Mr. Chops. It's a barbecue place here in West.
Ooh-wee.
I tried my best, guys. I tried my best to do the podcast there, but he said no.
But he's bringing samples.
But right? I hope he brings samples.
Okay. That's all that matters.
Ooh, it's going to be a good podcast.
Oh, right here.
Hang in there.
Right here, it's going to hurt.
It's going to be good. It's going to hurt. Here. Yeah.
You're going to fast all morning, carnal, just to make space
in your
stomach.
Is your mic still on?
No. No.
Damn it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the podcast. We will see you next week. This Thursday, 7:30. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Ladies, Gators, Gators.